Good morning. This is Carol Ventura, Executive Director of Rhode Island Housing. This is the June 15th, 2023 in-person meeting of the Rhode Island Housing Board of Commissioners. This meeting is also available telephonically for access by the public. DJ Rotella, the Director of Information Technology for Rhode Island Housing, will provide information on this meeting.
Good morning. This is CJ Rotella. This meeting will be recorded and available for your review on Rhode Island Housing's website within 3 to 5 business days after this meeting. Except for specific Rhode Island Housing staff participating telephonically in the meeting, all callers will be muted during the meeting. To prevent any feedback or background noise, we ask telephone participants to please mute your telephone if you are not speaking. If during the meeting anyone is having technical difficulties with the audio or accessing the call, they should call 401-457-1240. Thank you.
Good morning. This is Corinne Meyer speaking. All members of the Board of Commissioners are appearing in person this morning in keeping with the Rhode Island Open Meetings Act. Members of the public can access the meeting via teleconference or attend in person, according to their preference. If the teleconference portion is interrupted for any reason, we will stop the meeting until audio can be restored. Chairman Pryor will be presiding at this morning's meeting and will be voting by voice vote. Meeting participants, please do state your name each and every time prior to speaking for the benefit of those listening in. And telephone participants, please mute your lines. With that, I will turn it over to Chairman Pryor to call the meeting to order. Thank you.
Good morning. Thank you, Carol and Corey. I appreciate it very much. I am going to call the meeting to order. It is 9:37 a.m. for the record, and I'm going to ask Carol to go ahead and go do the roll call for us.
Commissioner Cronington?
Yes.
Commissioner Orr?
Here.
Chairman Pryor?
Here.
Commissioner Designee Craven?
Here.
Commissioner Designee Cabral?
Here.
Chairman?
We're starting with board action item number one. That's the approval of the minutes. Would you just take a second to look at the minutes again, and I'll entertain a motion to approve those minutes.
I'll make a motion.
Thank you.
Motion seconded, Robert Craven.
Thank you both. Any amendments or questions on the minutes? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed or abstentions? I'm sorry, I'm so accustomed to doing that.
Quite all right.
I do it automatically. Would you like to do it again?
No, that's absolutely adequate for the record. Thank you.
Perfect. All right. We're up to my remarks in the agenda, and what I wanted to express is gratitude to all of the advocates, all of the Rhode Island housing leaders, staff and board who have presented the challenge and the mandate to get going with housing production in earnest. Rhode Island Housing, of course, has been at it and leading the way, but that has led to the creation of a legislative package. We've updated each other on potential for a significant investment package from the General Assembly at a couple of our previous board meetings. I just want to offer this observation as my top expression today. The General Assembly has really embraced your mandate and has itself led the way. There's a package before the Senate at this point that's already been approved by the House that creates our first ever state-level low-income housing tax credit, a companion to the federal workforce program, which we will be able to deploy through our activities. There are also several new measures, programs, and investment vehicles in the proposed budget. There's a priority projects fund. The General Assembly saw fit to take our $17 million recommendation and add $10 million. That's how much they affirmed that. There is a transportation-oriented development fund that helps us build in TOD districts, helps for direct investment in projects around major train stations, bus hubs, et cetera. There are tools aimed at helping municipalities get in on the act even more. There are many cities and towns that wish to produce housing in various forms, but they perceive and have correctly diagnosed, in many instances, barriers, illustratively infrastructure on the one hand, the lack of last mile infrastructure and municipal capacity on the other hand, the ability within a city or town hall to get the job done for planning, zoning, or development purposes. In both instances, there are new investments. There's a some $4 million infrastructure fund to be deployed in concert with the Infrastructure Bank of Rhode Island, and there is a municipal fellows program enabling cities and towns to bring aboard a fellow, i.e. a staff member, to conduct work related to housing development. You get the idea. Perhaps of greatest interest here at Rhode Island Housing, with thanks to Carol and James and the team and Corey and others who collaborated around this concept, there is a notion introduced in the budget and affirmed within it regarding a subsidiary of this organization that would be a proactive development entity that would enable us to carry out even more work around identifying land, acquiring it, assembling it, putting together capital stacks, getting involved in the development process. Rhode Island Housing has already led the way in all of these ways, but this will enable us to even more nimbly do it, and they've assigned to us $1.4 million to get started on staffing and other startup expenses. So I express all of that to say thank you to those who have laid the groundwork and precisely advocated for these things. There's certainly a great deal of work that will need to occur on these points and others that I haven't even mentioned that are coming out of the actions of the General Assembly. All of these items were proposed by Governor McKee, and we're very, very grateful to the Governor, Speaker Shikarchi, and Senate President Ruggiero. So in a joyful way, much more work to come in creating regulations, in creating guidance documents, in creating application procedures to ensure that we get going with all these resources. But really pleased to report this, and hopefully are on the verge of having yet these additional tools to help us make these steps forward. So with that, I conclude my remarks. I'm not sure, Corey, is it acceptable to ask board members if they might have questions on my remarks? So if I may, any questions about the legislative package before we move on to the business? Look forward to talking with you much more about it as we proceed together. We are on to agenda item 3. I'm introducing Carol. You've met her. She's our executive director, and she's going to present the executive director's review of recent activities and trends.
Thank you, Chairman. Let me start off with our homeownership division. I think you saw in my report that despite that we have and the high interest rates that we're experiencing at a record that we haven't seen since December of 21. So this is good news, and I think it speaks to the governor's investment in down payment assistance. We financed 153 homes on $54 million in volume. You'll recall that we launched the Homeowner Assistance Fund in early 2022. Since then, we've been deploying these resources. They've rolled out a little bit slower than I anticipated, but we've currently committed over $44 million, so we're getting to the end of the program, and we anticipate winding it down over the next several weeks. There'll be, you know, staff on board to do ongoing support of the program, but in terms of getting dollars out the door, at the point we are quickly winding down. After the long meeting last month, we celebrated all of the wonderful development is now possible, scheduling meetings with developers to keep them on track to get to firm commitment if necessary and closing on these deals. We've launched the Municipal Technical Assistance Program, aiming to tremendous amount of work on this along with James. This is the $5 million pool funding to the cities and towns, just another initiative that will help us stop the development process, I believe. Help consultants. We have a roster of consultants that will help the cities and towns any activities related to housing. We are receiving, according to Amy, a lot of inquiries on this program, so hopefully we'll see momentum here. We've had a number of opportunities over the past few years to celebrate some of the work that's being done in the community. I believe, Chairman, you attended an event with Joe Paolino. On June 5th, James participated in an event with PCFDT in Pawtucket, a homeownership opportunity, which is what they do very, very well. I plan on joining them at Mavis Street tomorrow, 5 condominiums that are available for sale. Yesterday, I participated in a terrific event with the mayor at Paragon Mills. This was a blighted property for decades in Oneyville, and I don't know how many times that Paragon Mills financed it. Finally, it was the right mix of developer and project, and we celebrated a great development that's going to provide 101 apartments, 44 are affordable. Lastly, I wanted to note that Amy Renone has provided you with an update on the estimating conferences, the revised budget, and our record of testimony, but we'll be back to you in August with a presentation on exactly what's occurred. That's it.
Board members' questions? I thank you for your report, Carol. We appreciate all the progress. I'm now going to introduce James Comer. You also know James. He's Deputy Executive Director. And item 4, which is approval of external charitable donations and contributions. Please go ahead, James.
Good morning. This is James Comer. We have one item, and I am pleased to report it is an extension of an item from last meeting because there were so many staff members who wanted to go and celebrate Ann Berman as she got her award from the Housing Network of Rhode Island. So this is for 3 additional tickets for the event, which occurred on June 5th. It was a great event, really wonderful, honoring not only Ann but some other housing advocates in the community and in the legislature particularly, and the amount in total was $180 for 3 tickets. Happy to answer any questions.
I do have a question, but I want to see other board members do first. James, could you just remind us of our own guidelines pertaining to which charitable contributions at what dollar amounts need to come all the way to the board?
Traditionally, we do any contributions. There's not a dollar amount per se. And what we have always done is these are, by and large, events with partners of ours,
right?
Whether it's, you know, the Housing Network, it may be individual organizations that do fundraising. Sojourner House jumps to mind. And then also for trade organizations like the Housing Network on the mortgage banking side that Peter attends over the course of the year. It's so nice to have.
Mr. Chair, we do have a formal policy regarding the approval of charitable contributions, and they're organized into categories. There are some thresholds mentioned in there. I'd be happy to pull that policy out and share it with the board for reference.
Perfect. And I just wonder, it may merit discussion in a committee, maybe not before the full board, but just for our consideration, I feel like if there are tickets to be purchased for folks to attend, obviously very germane events, especially honoring our very own, and it was terrific to see Ann at that event. Well deserved. I just wonder whether there's a certain threshold at which it doesn't need to come to us, where it's de minimis and it's, you know, not of note. So just wanted to ask that question and not presume an outcome. Maybe we like this policy and it might be the best.
Yes, Mr. Chair, this is Corinne Meyer speaking. There is a threshold at which the executive director can approve without additional consent required. I will share the policy. I can't recall what the threshold is off the top of my head.
Gotcha.
But we hew to it in the name of transparency. It's a required policy under the Quasi-Public Corporation Accountability and Transparency Act.
Yeah.
You didn't just say you.
Time, please. Great. If you all don't mind, let's just take a look, because this seemed like a quite modest contribution for an obvious purpose. All right, I think the item is still before us, so let's go ahead and approve it. I'll entertain a motion.
I make a motion, Robert Craven.
Is there a second?
Second.
Made and seconded. I will turn it over to Corey to conduct the vote.
Thank you. This is Corey Meyer speaking. All those in favor of approving external charitable donations and contributions as presented, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say nay. For the record, the motion is approved by a unanimous vote. Thank you.
Terrific. Okay. I'm introducing item 5, which is firm approval of financing for Burnham Mills in Woonsocket. And I'm going to turn it over to the very same person we've been referencing with joy, and that's Ann Berman.
Thank you. Appreciate that. This is Ann Berman. So this request for action is for approval of $13 million of tax-exempt financing, as well as housing production funds, capital magnet funds, community revitalization program funds, Rhode Island Rebounds, which is part of the ARPA production fund, for Burnin Mills, which is located in Woonsocket. The developer is a joint venture between an entity known as Brissa Venture and ADC Communities, which is an affiliate of the development arm of Alliant Capital. Alliant Capital will also be the syndicator in this transaction. I think you've heard about Burnin Mills before at previous board meetings. It is a proposed 60-unit historic mill, three buildings, mix of efficiency one- and two-bedroom apartments. The developer intends to utilize income averaging with rents up to 80% and as low as 30%. And for these deeper targeted units, the developer was previously awarded five Section 811 vouchers from us. Since preliminary approval, it's taken a while to get here. Construction costs have risen over $1.5 million, primarily due to sort of industry-wide construction escalation. However, this mill is in really tough shape, so there's been a fair amount of significant structural improvements that need to be made, and which has certainly contributed to the cost. Our design and construction team has really reviewed this closely. They've worked with underwriting, and they are comfortable that the proposed schedule of values is consistent with pricing on similar deals as well as what's going on in the industry. In addition, since preliminary, the developer has secured construction and permanent financing from Bank of America through a private placement. We will actually be coming back in August to approve the documentation associated with that, but this kind of gives everybody the pathway to get to closing, and they do expect to close by the beginning of September. So we're seeking approval of $13 million in tax-exempt financing, a housing production fund loan of $2,790,000, a capital magnet fund loan of $300,000, a community revitalization program grant of $1,838,250, and a rebounds loan of $500,000. So happy to answer any questions.
Questions? Hearing none, is there a motion?
This is Kevin Orth. I'll make a motion.
And a second?
Seconded, Robert Craven.
Corey?
This is Corey Myers speaking. Commissioners, all those in favor of approving firm commitment of financing for Burnin Mills in Woonsocket, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say nay. The motion is approved by unanimous vote.
All right. We're on to Board Action 6. Approval of transfer of physical assets for Village, and I'm going to turn it right back to Ann.
Thank you. Thank you. This is Ann Berman. So this is an administrative action required under our general rules, and it is for the approval of the transfer of the limited partnership interest in Wickford Apartments, which is located in North Kingstown and provides 129 units for Wickford does have a long-term HAP contract. The current general partner and the management company are both affiliates of North Dartmouth Properties. The new proposed limited partner is an entity comprised of the principal of the current general partner named Jacqueline McDonald and a new partner who hold a 50% interest in the new limited partner entity. I note that the development's initial 15-year compliance period ended at the end of 2022, but the regulatory agreement goes through 2046. North Dartmouth Properties is the current property manager. The goal of this allows the new limited partner to allow the exit of the old limited partner, and I note that the purchase price is very reasonable, at less than $1 million. The owners do intend to undertake a full refinancing of the project in the next year or so, so you'll be hearing more about that. So we do seek the approval of the transfer of the limited partnership in Wickford Village Realty, and I won't trouble you by reading the names. So if you have any questions, let us know. They're a mouthful.
Great. Any questions for Ann? Okay, I'll request a motion.
This is Kevin Orth. Make the motion.
Is there a second?
Seconded, Bradley
Thompson. Seconded. One more time. Any questions or comments? If not, Corey, you do conduct the vote.
Of course. This is Corey Meyer. Commissioners, all those in favor of approving the transfer of physical assets for Whitford Village in Whitford, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say nay. The ayes appear to have it. Thank you.
Okay. We're going to take a step here that I'm going to describe in the conduct of this meeting. In addition to being the Board of Rhode Island Housing, board members are members of the Public Housing Authority that administers Section 8 rental subsidies on behalf of HUD. So I'm actually going to request a motion to recess this meeting. We're going to break from this meeting of the Rhode Island Housing Board of Commissioners, convene the Section 8 committee right here, right now. So those in the audience, fret not. We'll be here. We'll continue to conduct business, and we'll come back. So I'm going to ask for a motion to be made, and please state your name when you do so. Is there a motion to convene the Section 8 committee?
Kevin Orth, I'll make the motion.
And is there a second?
Sarah,
okay, Corey, can we conduct this vote to do that transition?
Certainly. This is Corey Myers. Commissioners, all those in favor of recessing the meeting of the RA Housing Board of Commissioners and convening the Section 8 committee, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say nay. The motion is approved by a unanimous vote.
All right. So now on to approval of the Public Housing Authority annual plan, and I'm going to introduce Michael, who will present that item.
Thank you, Chairman. This is Michael DiCaro, Director of Housing and Rental Services, and I'll be presenting this action for approval of the Public Housing Authority annual plan. Rhode Island Housing, in its capacity as a public housing authority, is required by HUD to adopt an annual DHA plan that establishes goals for meeting the housing needs and objectives of our housing service budget program. The plan must be approved by the Board of Commissioners and forwarded to HUD. The Government Relations and Policy staff has reviewed the annual plan to ensure consistency with the state's consolidated plan. In addition, the plan has been publicly advertised and circulated to the resident advisory board for review. To date, we have received no comments. This annual plan provides specific updates to the goals that were established in 2020 as part of our approved five-year plan, and I will briefly go through some of the updates contained within this plan. First, we've recently increased staffing capacity, enabling us to process a selection of 100 waitlist applicants each month. We're also actively engaging other housing authorities throughout the state to propose a shared jurisdiction model, which would allow us to provide these critical resources in other communities. We issued an RFP earlier this year to help identify project-based voucher opportunities, specifically targeting vulnerable households. We are currently providing notice of those awards, and when those contracts are executed, Rhode Island Housing will have reached our maximum capacity for the issuance of project-based vouchers. Finally, we've engaged a consultant to provide a quality control review in preparation for an upcoming pilot program assessment, due to report that the consultant review is nearly complete with no significant findings identified. With that, I would like to recommend approval of the adoption of the PHA annual plan as proposed. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Questions, commissioners?
Go ahead, Kevin.
Oh, thank you.
Kevin.
Briefly go over what our voucher utilization rate is and how that has changed maybe over the past few years.
So there's not one straight answer to this. We have a bunch of authority for a number of vouchers, which is almost 2,000 vouchers. We also have a dollar amount voucher utilization. We're about at 93% of the available resources, the money that's allocated to us. Number of vouchers, we're only at the 70% range. We've got 9,957 vouchers available. We've got 1,400 vouchers right now issued. So there's a gap there, but we are utilizing the majority of our actual budget authority.
How does that compare to, say, last year or the year before?
It's similar to last year. The year before it was higher at utilization probably 3 or 4 years ago when we had shared jurisdiction with other municipalities who do not have that shared jurisdiction. We have right now 18 communities that we have the ability to issue vouchers in, plus 2 that we have shared jurisdiction in. We used to have shared jurisdiction with the province. We do not have that anymore, so that was only the plan.
Would you recommend any action to try to improve upon that?
Well, that's what we're doing, by engaging housing.
That's what I believe, but we haven't quite gotten there yet.
Not yet.
No, we've started discussions with housing authority trade groups, and we've actually been in fairly constant communication with HUD as well about thoughts they may have, and, you know, it, somewhat gratifyingly, but also, you know, not ideally, a lot of the things they suggested are things we're already doing. And there's only so many ways to get at this problem, and without being able to get into other communities in the state, it will continue to be a challenge. But we're making some outreach and trying to see what, you know, how we can make it a mutually beneficial agreement for us and for some of the housing authorities.
Rob, did you have a question?
Yeah, Michael, aside from the change you just described, is there any other material changes from last year's?
No, so we have a 5-year plan that's our goal, so we're working towards achieving those goals.
Thank you, Michael.
Question? I have two, if I may. One is in the materials, page 3, you referenced that over the last 4 years, DHA has elected not to make any selections from the waiting list, but absorbed nearly 300 of the households currently leased under the Rhode Island Housing HCB program. Could you just describe a little bit more what exactly was going on there with these 300? Can you just explain that description?
The 300 DHA, that's the province of it. Right?
Yep.
Being very aggressive in trying to get as many vouchers in the street as possible.
Well, what happened with those 300 vouchers? They absorbed them for whom?
They absorbed them for Rhode Island Housing. So we, at one point, and Jane, the county, is jumping in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
At one point, we had shared jurisdiction with Providence. There was no, they sent us correspondence saying that we are not allowed to lease up in their community anymore. So the deal at the time was whatever we had leased up in Providence, they would allow us to keep, but as we up new folks or folks who move in the current apartment, that Providence would absorb those vouchers. So that's been the 300 they've absorbed from us since then. So I can tell you just this year they've absorbed 62 since January. So every year as we issue a voucher, if someone finds a unit in Providence, we're certainly not going to deny that person the assistance. We'll allow them to lease up a Providence for us.
That's very helpful. Anyone else have a question on that before I proceed? Given where HUD is pertaining to fair housing assessment, where are we as pertains to ours? What's the status of fair housing assessment related to this program?
So generally, our staff is all trained in fair housing. We don't get too involved in fair housing complaints. We refer those things that handle that.
Mr. Chairman, I'm not exactly certain what you're asking. You're asking if we're doing everything we need to do to affirmatively further fair housing?
In light of, I know there have been zigzag changes at HUD as to their approach to fair housing, mm-hmm. but yes. That's precisely what
I'm asking. Yes, so those changes have been reflected in our practices. I think, and I'll defer to counsel here, but I believe that we are, part of what we do with this process is to incorporate any HUD notices that will occur during the year. So this will commemorate everything up to this point, so we will be current with all the HUD regulations. So we have been following all along the affirmatively furthering fair housing regulations that HUD promulgates.
Okay, very good.
If I could add one thing, this is Corey Myers speaking. The PHA annual plan process occurs on a 1- and 5-year cycle, and the 5-year version includes slightly more in-depth requirements for reviewing fair housing components. Is that correct? Okay.
Got it. So when will we see that?
Next year.
Thank you. Got it.
If I could also jump in, Michael DeCaro again. In addition to the annual plan, our next item on the agenda will be our admin plan, and that will be updated later this year with some significant HUD changes related to new regulations that they're putting in.
Got it. Maybe if you could say a word more about that when we get to it, it'd be perfect. That's great. Super helpful. Any other comments from executive staff? Any other questions from board? Hearing none, We remain in the Section 8 committee meeting. I'm going to ask for a motion to be made on Board Action 7 pertaining to this Section 8 committee. Is there one? Is there a motion?
So moved, Robert Craven.
Is there a second?
Second, Kevin Orth.
Once more, any discussion, questions, anything as pertains to the item? Corey, would you conduct the vote?
Yes, this is Corey Meyer speaking. All those in favor of approving the Public Housing Authority Annual Plan, PHA Annual Plan, as presented at this meeting, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say nay. The motion is approved by a unanimous vote. Thank you.
Okay. Now I'd like a motion to adjourn the Section 8 Committee itself and reconvene as the Rhode Island Housing Board of Commissioners. Is there a motion?
So moved, Charlie Conte.
All right. Is there a second?
Second, Robert Craven.
Corey, one more time.
Yes, this is Corey speaking. Commissioners, all those in favor of adjourning the Section 8 committee and reconvening the RA Housing Board of Commissioners meeting, please say aye.
Aye.
The opposed say nay. The motion is approved. Thank you.
All right, very good. We are back at the Rhode Island Housing Board, and this is in essence a continuation of our discussion with Michael just moments ago on the Rhode Island Housing Administrative Plan. So we're taking up Board Action 8. And that's approval of amendments to said plan. To you, Michael.
Thank you, Chairman. Housing and Rental Services, presenting this action for approval of amendments to Rhode Island Housing Administrative Plan. Rhode Island Housing serves as a public housing authority in those Rhode Island municipalities that do not have a standalone PHA. The operation of our program is governed by an administrative plan and required by federal regulations. We are proposing three updates to our plan that are primarily administrative in nature. First, we are proposing to simplify our preference point collection process by basing the overall score on 100 points versus the current system that utilizes a total of 4,700 possible points. The selection criteria, other than adding some clarifying language related to POWA or the Violence Against Women Act, we are, however, updating the weight assigned to each preference point to reflect our priority for using units within our jurisdiction, assisting survivors of domestic violence, and aiding individuals and families who are experiencing homelessness or existential homelessness. We also added some language clarifying financial incentives that we are able to offer landlords who agree to execute HAP contracts with us. And finally, language has been added to clarify that a self-certification form is considered satisfactory documentation for our landlords. As I mentioned earlier, we will bring this administrative plan back to the board later this year to reflect HUD changes through HOPMA, Housing Opportunities Through Modernization Act. So we expect some significant changes based on those regulations. So,
questions? I'm going to return to the subject we were talking about, if you don't mind it. This is, in a sense, in the context of our fair housing dialogue, just to understand how we shape and sculpt our own plans in the context of. I think, please correct me, that in the administrative plan there's 40 points for local preference, something in that order of magnitude.
40 points for, if somebody is living in one of our jurisdictional communities right now, there's 40 points for that.
And this is not questioning that, it's just asking a broad question. How do we square that with the fair housing criteria and guidance that we receive?
I'm happy to take that if you would like me to, Mike.
Please.
Mr. Chair, the local preference was adopted as a particular strategy for evening the playing field as we entered a system where we had centralized wait list functions with a number of other public housing authorities. So it's one way to ensure that there's a proportional distribution of access to vouchers throughout the state.
Achieve proportionality?
So all of the participating housing authorities, by virtue of our joint agreement, are required to adopt that same preference.
Okay. Yeah, that's a form of proportionality. I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
I see what you're saying. All right. And when do we next comprehensively update this plan?
Are you referring to the administrative
plan? I am.
Or?
Yes.
I think Mike stated that we were expecting.
Right. We have to update it with the HAPA changes by the end of the calendar year.
There we go.
Right. Got it.
Probably October.
Very helpful. So this question may relate to that, or maybe we can even dialogue about it now. I don't want to disrupt the process that we're in regarding this plan. But homelessness, the points regarding people experiencing homelessness in the plan, do you happen to have reference to how many are afforded to that purpose?
Points, 10 points out of 100 for homelessness.
It just struck me that 10 points for folks experiencing homelessness and 40 for local preference was, it just struck me as maybe a proportion and apportionment that we ought to look at again. It just seems like a quite low number of points for homelessness related in the context of the growing homelessness we're experiencing in the state. At a given moment in time, I can see how this could have been at least more, even more appropriate. And we might want to look at this as we look towards October. But I just wanted to ask the question, is that, first of all, how did we arrive at 10 points for homelessness? Maybe we should start there. Is there any guidance that's been provided to us or any kind of architecture that we're looking at where we arrived at 10?
So we have discretion to just tell ourselves. There's no guidance from probably telling us how much we have to do this system. So when it was a 4,700-point system, it was also 10% of that score. So it hasn't changed from there. We also do have 20 points for someone that's in a situation where they're losing their subsidy potentially, so potentially
at-risk homelessness.
Right. So I think the reason why we have a structure with such a strong reference point towards the jurisdiction is for utilization. The concern is there's money on the table that we're not able to fully utilize. And so our first priority is to get that money out the door to get, you know, certainly look to HUD to increase that budget authority going forward versus recapturing some of those funds and not being able to help as many folks as possible.
Okay, gotcha. Would it be welcome if I asked as a dialogue, not in any way as a decision, that we look at this as we aim for the plan revision, you say approximately October, just to look again at the question of homelessness?
I think that certainly if we're able to agree upon a shared jurisdiction with other housing authorities, which certainly
it's a very different calculus, yeah.
Okay. Any other comments on that?
I just have a question because I just want to make sure I understand how this works. So if we were to change the proportionality of point category, it would have to be agreed upon by the other housing authorities within this jurisdiction. No. Yeah.
No, this plan just governs our
right.
But work as a PHA.
Okay. But it just make it much more difficult if it's not in accordance with other housing authorities.
What's difficult is our ability to lease up without access to other communities within Rhode Island. If you look at our jurisdictions, we have more or less the balance of the state. Rural communities, suburban communities, where there are fewer opportunities to rent. So sharing jurisdiction across the state would open up not only for Rhode Island Housing, but other housing authorities to utilize their vouchers across, and which really provides opportunity for families to decide where they live without financially impacting housing authorities across our state. I think it just maximizes everyone's ability to utilize resources, which it should be the goal.
Super. Now, other questions? Thanks for undertaking that dialogue with us. I'll ask for a motion
for approval of board
item 8. Is there a second?
Second, Robert Craven.
Made and seconded. Any further discussion or questions? If not, Corey, would you conduct the vote, please?
Mm-hmm. This is Corey speaking. All those in favor of approving amendments to the RA Housing Administrative Plan as presented, please say aye.
Aye.
Say nay. I'm hearing 5 affirmative votes and the motion's approved. Thank you.
All right. On to item 9, the last business item. And this is the approval of the FY 2023 Community Development Funding Awards. And Christine Hunsinger is going to introduce the item and explain.
This is Chris Hunsinger. This request for action is for approval of grant funding under the FY 23 Community Development Grant Program. This program provides funding for Rhode Island Housing Finance Developments to hire new resident service coordinators or expand resident service coordination efforts that provide access to supportive services and identify and develop resources and programs that will support residents in a variety of ways. The goal is to support efforts that increase tenant stability, improve health outcomes, improve quality of life, and provide a pathway to building assets that support families. Funds will be awarded for a 3-year term to allow for increased sustainability and the ability to assess outcomes over a longer period of time. We issued an RFP in February and received 14 proposals from 14 different organizations. One proposal was disqualified due to submitting for an ineligible activity. The remaining 13 proposals requested a total of $1.8 million in funding. A committee consisting of staff from the Executive and Leased Housing and Rental Services Division reviewed proposals in accordance with the criteria set forth in the RFP. We're recommending funding for 3 organizations. The first is the Housing Authority for the City of Newport in the amount of $150,000. Our funding will support the hiring of a resident service coordinator who will work solely with the Park Home community and support the current resident service coordinator who serves the whole public housing community there. Second is Lucy's Hearth in the amount of $150,000, a 24-hour emergency and transitional shelter located in Middletown. Our funds will support a resident service coordinator there. And lastly, recommending $150,000 in funding for Omni Development Corporation to hire a resident service coordinator to support their South Providence housing portfolio. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Questions?
This is Kevin Orr. Questions,
please.
Thank you. In my own portfolio, we have resident services coordinators and a resident services program, and I think it's fantastic, so I'm very happy to see that we as an organization are supporting that. HUD provides similar grants, but they're typically reserved for seniors, senior properties, so it's very good to see that we're putting our money into some other types of developments that could really use the resident services. One of the things that I found difficult to do is to collect the data and measure the outcomes. We get a lot of feel-good response, pictures of you know, backpack giveaways or something like that, which are really good, but it's really hard to say how much are we improving grades, are we improving health, are we improving access to jobs, or are they getting jobs, and things like that. Hardcore data that I think everybody would like to see. So my only comment is we have some money or time or somebody to put some thought into how we're going to collect that data and measure those outcomes, and it's in a format that the developers and their staff can really utilize and follow through on.
We've been working on doing just that. So Stacey Walterman, who's on our team, meets with them to talk about what is possible to measure and how to collect it. We collect quarterly reports, and so every year we try to get more and track it. And one of the reasons are over 3 years is for a little bit longer time to consistently collect it. So I hear you, and if we could find a really great way to do it, we will.
And if you do, please let me know.
Great.
I want to feel it.
Yeah.
Great. Anything else from anybody? If not, I'll ask for a motion on Board Action 9.
Kevin Orth, so moved.
Moved. Is there a second?
Second.
Moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Questions? If not, the court conducts the vote.
Happy to. Commissioners, all those in favor of approving the fiscal year 2023 Community Development Funding Awards as presented, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say nay. With 5 affirmative votes, the motion is approved. Thanks.
All right, that concludes the business of the meeting. So I will request a motion to adjourn.
So moved, Robert Craven.
Is there a second?
Seconded, Charlie Compton.
On this controversial motion, Lori, would you take the vote?
Yes. Commissioners, all those in favor of adjourning this meeting, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? I didn't think so. The motion is approved by unanimous vote.
All right. Have a great Rhode Island.